Hello, fellow realists. I'm David Revell, and this is ValueSide for Tuesday, November 22nd. For all of our articles and podcasts, visit valueside.com. Well, today, when the tide goes out, you find out who's swimming naked. Well, our economy is based on credit to a larger extent than many realize. For the last 30 years, financial empires are built during times of loose credit, and many fail during times of tightening credit, like we're going through today. This is because many of these multi-billion-dollar financial firms operate on extremely thin margins, and rising interest rates can quickly turn their income statements red. I learned this bitter lesson back in the 1980s. It was when the walls between investment banking and commercial banking were falling. Old laws and regulations, particularly Glass-Steagall, were on their last leg. Within a decade, President Clinton would sign the act that allowed all banks to have a brokerage division. But in the 80s, several West Coast savings and loans were already operating their own stock brokerage division. And I worked for a firm that provided the back office services for these new S&L brokerage divisions. One day, the head of Gibraltar Savings and Loan invited me out to lunch. It was not uncommon for us to get together, so I thought nothing of it. As we sat down, he told me he had some bad news. The firm was going out of business. Not just his brokerage division, but the entire savings and loan. A company in California for a century was now in a position where failure was inevitable. His announcement was a real shock. I'd never expected this, and we went through just how it happened for the next couple of hours. Let me give you the highlights. Starting in 1987, around the time of the stock market crash, the Federal Reserve began raising interest rates. They pushed rates from slightly over 6% to just under 10%. Only about a 3% raise in rates, but enough to drive up Gibraltar's cost of funds. And it only took a minimal move before Gibraltar was underwater. What was worse, this drama would take 6 months to play out, although we saw the inevitable during that lunch. 6 months after our meeting, Gibraltar filed for bankruptcy, and hundreds of workers, both in the bank and brokerage, were laid off. A historic California financial institution was no more. Interestingly, no bailout was provided from Washington, unlike what they would do for some of the East Coast banks that would find themselves in the same position a decade later. Remember, S&Ls were not members of the Federal Reserve. But here is the takeaway. When the Fed decides to tighten monetary conditions by raising interest rates and various other strategies, they will inevitably put some financial companies out of business. Firm failures are all part of that demand destruction that we're hearing so much about today. And I would have the same experience months later when the same interest rate cycle caught the nation's most significant savings and loan, home savings. However, they would be forced to merge instead of just closing their doors. Ironically, their merger partner would be another client, Washington Mutual, which would later combine with J.P. Morgan Chase. By this time, the regulators had become more efficient at merging troubled banks instead of just closing them. Mergers provided savers and investors with a readily available alternative. Now, during the 21st century, we've experienced two periods of Fed tightening. During each period, major bankruptcies have occurred, although sometimes with a lag time of up to a year or more. The first period of tightening was from 1999 until 2000, which brought on the 2001 recession, during which we saw three significant bankruptcies: Enron, WorldCom, and Conseco. These ranged in size from the $61 billion for Conseco to the $103 billion loss for WorldCom. Now, reacting to that 2001 recession, the Federal Reserve once again lowered interest rate and provided loose credit conditions. By 2004, rates were all the way back to just 1%. Then again, the Fed began to tighten, raising interest rates until by July of 2006, fundamental interest in the country was 5.25%. That is a very significant jump, a 500% increase in just a couple of years. And the results were predictable. Already skating on thin ice, some major financial firms went out of business. During this credit tightening, Chrysler and General Motors both declared bankruptcy. It was also the time when CIT Group and MF Global also fell. Topping the list was Washington Mutual, a record-smashing $327 million bankruptcy, a record that didn't last long, however. Shortly after, Lehman Brothers declared insolvency at $691 billion, the largest, most significant bankruptcy in American history. It had been more than 2 years since the Fed reached its terminal interest rate of 5.25% before these last two firms fell. It can take months for these giant firms to unwind. Today, less than a year after the Fed began raising interest rates again, we're already seeing the first to fall. That was that FTX exchange. Higher interest rates and tightening monetary conditions always eliminate the weak and the crooked. I expect to see many more in the next couple of years. As Warren Buffett says, when the tide goes out, you find out who's swimming naked. In economic briefs, an interesting Treasury auction yesterday. The U.S. Treasury auctioned off the 3- and 6-month bill, as well as the 2- and 5-year Treasury notes. The yields are already inverted at the auction, which is something you rarely see. The highest yield was for the 6-month T-bill, with an interest rate greater than 4.5%. And as investors went to longer maturities, their returns became progressively lower, precisely the opposite of what you would expect in a regular market. Now, the lowest yield was for the far-out maturity, the 5-year note, and the return on the 5-year was less than 4%. That's 50 full basis points less than the 6-month T-bill. So here's what the Treasury market is trying to tell us. First, that the economy is slowing dramatically. The higher interest rates we're experiencing today are not sustainable. In 5 years, this economy will only support much lower interest rates. And as night follows day, Treasuries are also telling us that inflation will be much lower. If we use the rule of thumb that investors expect to receive the rate of inflation plus 3% from their Treasury investments, then the 5-year note predicts inflation will be less than 1% in 5 years. Exciting news from the world's largest financial market, the U.S. Treasuries. Now, on the calendar is the weekly Redbook report on retail sales. This season is the critical time for retailers, as most profits come from holiday sales. So the Street will be scrutinizing this Redbook report today. The report has been lower for the last 3 weeks, and let's hope that retailers can turn that trend around. This morning, we've seen a slate of retailers report their results. Earnings that have been better than expected have come from Best Buy, Burlington Stores, and Dick's Sporting Goods. The only retailer trading lower currently has been Dollar Tree, which has joined medical device company Medtronic on the red side. Trading higher has been tech company Autodesk, as well as Analog Devices. And that's the value side for this Tuesday, November 22nd. For all of our articles, complete with charts and references, visit valueside.com. I'm David Revelle. ValueSide is independently written and researched. The views expressed are strictly my own.